Self-Evident is a platform that is dedicated to speaking truths that were once self-evident and doing so in love. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode. Trad life is still a thing when it comes to a movement that is taking place both across the internet and in a lot of conservative circles. And I know that there have been a lot of people that have touched on the trad wife movement, the trad wife idea in general, but I just thought, being someone who's a young wife and mom, that I just have a couple thoughts that I want to put into the mix, so to speak. So I hope you enjoy this episode. All right, as I said, the trad wife movement is still alive and well in the conservative circle. And I've seen a lot of things on my social media, on the platform social media pages. So that's kind of what has prompted this episode and why I think we just need something more permanent when it comes to what our opinion is on these things. And what I want to say right off the bat is I understand the intentions of the trad wife movement, that we want to get back to traditional roles. We want to get back to celebrating the differences between men and women, the differences that make us thrive, where women tend to thrive more in a nurturing aspect, and men tend to thrive more in a provider aspect. I love that because that is most definitely an escape from toxic feminism, which has said that men and women are interchangeable, that men and women should be able to do the same thing, that men and women should not have to be encumbered, specifically women in this case, by children. And that's what started the sex revolution in the 1960s with the advent of birth control. So you have all of these things that are coming at women. And so in conservative circles, to go back to quote unquote the trad wife movement, they wanted an escape from that narrative that no, being a wife, being a mom is not a trap. It's actually very fulfilling. And it's very wonderful to be able to thrive in that nurture aspect. As someone who is a wife and a mom, I completely agree with those statements are wonderful, fulfilling things. And yet I see dangers with the trad wife movement and the narrative that they tend to hold, specifically on social media. When it comes to social media, how I want to tackle this topic is I want to tackle it from the social media aspect of what is being fed to women when it comes to what it means to be a trad wife, and also a theological aspect of being a trad wife does not necessarily mean that you are a biblical wife. So first with the social media, a lot of what women receive on their social media pages is that trad wife equals sourdough bread. Trad wife equals you grow your own herbs. Trad wife equals you wear skirts and dresses. Trad wife equals what I've seen a lot is aprons. You wear aprons when you cook. Trad wife equals you have more than four kids. Trad wife equals you don't work outside the home in any capacity. Or from what I've seen, people will ascribe to trad wife aspects, and yet they will still have some kind of job or career or hobby that makes money on the side, which I think is kind of funny because when you actually look at where this trad wife idea comes from the 1950s, and a lot of women kind of wanting to go back to that time period, is that women in the 1950s who were the stay-at-home moms, they didn't have social media accounts that they were monetizing. They didn't have a lot of these things like hobbies and Etsy shops with their candles. That's just one critique that I have, is the same women that say they're trad wives are the same women that have monetary gain through different hobbies or projects. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I think it's very healthy to have those things. I just find it somewhat humorous that you're ascribing to the trad wife lifestyle and yet you're still holding on another way of life, which is that women can do something to help bring in income to the household. That's just one critique I want to make of the trad wife movement with the social media angle that I'm seeing, is that it's largely for the aesthetics. What I'll see a lot in the bios of a lot of these popular trad wives is that that's actually their monetization label for Instagram, for Facebook, or any kind of social media, for TikTok, is that they're known as a trad wife. So then you kind of get into the weeds of, okay, are you ascribing to this lifestyle genuinely and you're just sharing about it innocently on social media? Or have you ascribed to this lifestyle because you know that it's a trend and you know that it's kind of this conservative movement and you want to hop on the trend for your own monetary gain? I can't judge the heart of people who are making these accounts. And I know that that's a lot of rambling there, But my big point when it comes to social media and what is being fed to women when it comes to the trad wife movement is that being a trad wife equals, like I said before, sourdough bread, having more than four kids, wearing dresses and skirts, wearing aprons, not working outside the home in any capacity. While I think that there's nothing wrong, obviously, with any of those things, there's nothing wrong with making sourdough. In fact, one of my husband's coworkers gifted me a sourdough starter, and I kept it alive for, I think, 7 days to 2 weeks. And then I just let it die, to be quite honest with you, because it was a little bit overwhelming that I had to keep bread alive. And it kind of freaked me out a bit that there was something living and growing inside of my fridge and then on my counter. It was weird to me. So I let it die and then I threw it away. That's a side note. But all that to say, there's nothing wrong with sourdough. If you are a sourdough girly and you love making those things, please go for it. I personally love to buy my sourdough from the bakery, have someone else do that process for me because it is a very intense process, at least from my perspective. Maybe I was going off of the wrong recipe, but it was just a lot for me. So I prefer to buy it and I love the people that make it for me. If you enjoy wearing dresses all the time and you prefer not to wear pants, that's also fine. There's nothing inherently wrong in any of these things. What I'm finding the problem to be, and Ali Bastucky has done an amazing job of dissecting this issue, is that social media has turned what it means to be, quote unquote, a traditional wife into a label. And kind of getting into the theological aspect of this, I think the Bible calls us to a higher level of intentionality when it comes to what it means to be a biblical mom, what it means to be a biblical wife. And I think the trad wife movement misses a lot of key components. The trad wife movement, again, from what I've seen on social media, from what other commentators have talked about, is that it's largely based on aesthetics and what you bring to the table of how farmhousey your house looks, of how independent you are with your food. And again, I think the Bible calls us to higher standards than that, because when we look in scripture, what we see and what many have preached on for Mother's Day is the Proverbs 31 woman, the excellent wife. And what we see in that passage is not necessarily a prescription for every single woman must be like this, but rather what we see is a description of a woman who is humble and intentional with the work that God has for her. And so I want to base my argument off of that, because I don't want to go to the other side to say that because Proverbs 31 woman was in real estate and she was buying and selling fields, that that is prescriptive for every single Christian woman to be in real estate. That's not what the passage is about. And if you are a stay-at-home mom that doesn't bring in any extra income into your household in any way, and your sole purpose and work is to raise your children, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. All glory to God. And so I don't want to make the mistake theologically of prescribing this lifestyle to women like the trad wife movement does. And instead, I want to focus our attention of what do the scriptures have to say about being a biblical wife and being a biblical mom. And again, what I said before, it's not prescriptive of every woman must be in real estate. Every woman must wake up at 4 o'clock before the sun rises when it's still dark. Every woman must make her household's clothes. Every woman must have maid servants in her house or have a nanny, if you want to translate that to today's circumstances. That's not what the passage is about. Rather, it's descripting and being descriptive of a woman who is humble, who speaks well of her husband, who promotes a good reputation for her husband. Her husband trusts in her and he has no lack of gain. They are a team. Their marriage is a team. They're intentional with one another. She's intentional with her children, making sure that they have everything they need. And in that context of that agrarian society, that meant that she would most likely, and the passage describes this, have to make their clothes for them. She would buy the yarn, she would buy the material, she would make clothes, she would make sure they had enough food, enough clothing for winter. She would buy and sell fields so that her family could have money and real estate to farm animals or farm crops, whatever the case may be, in whatever situation they were in. She was involved in managing the household. She had maid servants that she was ruling over, which probably means they were a wealthier family. And yet, just because of that, you see that her intentionality doesn't dwindle just because they have more than others. In fact, she rises before it's still light out. And so again, what we see is intentionality with the work that God has for you. So that's my challenge with the Trad Wife movement, is stop worrying about the aesthetic. Stop worrying about whether or not you have a sourdough loaf that you are trying to keep alive and grow. Don't worry about whether or not you like wearing pants or you only have two children. Whatever the case may be, your goal in life is to glorify God. That is your purpose. And if that means God has given you a season of being a stay-at-home mom, God bless you in that season. And please feel that you have God's blessing in that season. But if God has you in a season where you are working in a different capacity and you're stewarding that well and you're stewarding your family well, please don't be shamed by the Trad Wife movement or the Trad Wife ideals that tell you that because you have work outside the home that you're somehow not in the in group, because that's just not true. Again, we don't derive our opinions or our self-worth from what society tells us is the new movement, the new anti-feminism wave. That's not how we base our livelihoods. We base our life as Christians off of what does God's word say. And what God's word says is that we are to do all things to his glory. If that means he's given you work, do it to the best of your ability for the glory of God. If that means he's given you children in this season and they are your sole priority, do it to your best for the glory of God. And don't let any Trad Wife movement try to shame you for doing what God has given you to do. Again, your aim in life is not to please an anti-feminism movement. Your aim in life is to glorify God. That's all for today. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I didn't want it to be super intensive or excessive in its length. I just wanted to give my quick feedback with what the Trad Wife movement is still doing, what I'm seeing, and ways that I think it's harmful, and ways in which it's not biblical, and also ways in which it tends to shame women. So again, I hope you enjoyed this episode. And until next time, let us firmly rely on the protection of divine providence. This is Self-Evident.